We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
An amazing thing. If you think about it, all around the world, people have been praising the name of Jesus in this 24-hour process. You know, I get excited. I follow a lot of other churches on social media, and it's late last night, and I'm watching church services, and the other churches are doing Saturday night services, which I'm not opposed to, somewhere down the road. Anybody got a friend that works mornings and can never come to church? We care about their eternity too, don't we? Okay, I'm just saying, but so I mean, you know, Julie last night was watching Rick Godwin preaching, and I love that we have the ability to see God's people rise up. But please let us not be a church that only does anything on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not looking for this to be, you know, the once a week. You know, too many people treat Christianity like football season. Like, one day a week, I can get that in, it fits with my schedule. You know, Jesus changed his schedule for us, didn't he? Okay, I better preach because I'm going to lose time preaching about something else that's not in my notes. Still good. You needed that too. Tell your neighbor, you needed that. With that accent. Maybe a little. I want to welcome you to Metro Church. If you're streaming, welcome. We've got a lot to go through today. I'll tell you, we've been talking about better, haven't we? Better, becoming better. No matter where you are in life, you can always do better. No matter how great this past year was in your life, it can be better this year. Amen? Some people say, Chad, I can't imagine better. Oh, dream bigger. You know what I mean? God's got big things for your life. And do you realize the way in which you dream is the way in which you will live? If you can't dream big, you won't have big. And people immediately think I'm talking about a castle on the hill. I'm talking about your ability to reach to people that are hurting and changing the world around you and having peace when you lay your head on the pillow. I'm not talking money. Don't be so surface level. Let's be people that have some depth. Amen? And so we are in this Better series, and we're kind of wrapping up this four-week series today of Better. And you guys remember when you were younger and more naive, back in those naive days, when you believed that if you could just get better, everything would work out on its own? Anybody? If I could just get better, if I could just climb this mountain, if I could just get over this hurdle, if I could just get around this bend, I'm going to be on easy streets. Easier doesn't mean it's easy streets. Just because you are able to get to a better place doesn't mean you won't have more struggle. Doesn't mean you won't have more issue. And I have come to understand the nature of progress, the nature of the progress of better. See, it's this: wherever there is progress, there is inevitably more resistance. Wherever you have progress in your life, if you want better, there's going to be more resistance again. Amen. So what does that mean? It means understand that there's a war to be fought. There's a war that we've got to fight on if we want better. And so now I'm telling you, that's not to discourage you from moving forward or becoming better, because the resistance ahead is not the same as the one you're currently staring at right now. The resistance ahead is different. It is something that, yes, it will need to be dealt with, but by then you will be battle-tested. By then, you will be further along. When you think of young people headed to war, you imagine their faces, the lack of peace, the struggle, the terror, you know, and we wouldn't have this country if it wasn't for the brave men and women that went to war when war was called on. When they were called, they stood up and did what only they could do. And I'll tell you, we live in a country, I've been out of this country. If you've never left this country, you don't know how good you have it in this country. So you should probably not be the one talking about this country. Leave the country, come back, and then tell me what you think. That's all I'm saying. We have the amazing company, country, and yeah, company, you're a great company too. But we have this amazing country because people, young people, they were willing to go and fight for something. But there's a difference on the face of the young person that has never dealt with that kind of war than there is on the face of a general who is about to go back to war. Did you hear me? He has been battle-tested. There is a calm demeanor about that person. This person is battle-tested, battle-ready, and regardless of how big the fight looks, he doesn't lose his calm or his focus. Man, if it wasn't for the generals in our life, it wasn't for, you know, and I even talk about spiritual, there are spiritual generals in your world that because they lead with such vigor, because they lead with such tenacity, it encourages you to stand up and do the same. You know what I mean? I'm a pastor who has a pastor. If it wasn't for my parents who have shown me the right way to live, if it wasn't for Steve and Sharon Kelly in Virginia Beach, pastors down there, being able to see generals of the faith show how to walk into battle and how to take care of things when your name is called, amen? So the fact is this, there's a difference. Every time we make progress in our life, every time we win the battle at hand, we are becoming more skilled as a fighter. Isn't that true? I'm going to read a lot of scripture. Tell your neighbor, oh, it's a lot of scripture. That's a good thing. If you're going, oh boy, here we go. See, the more scripture to read, the less I can be wrong. Did you hear me? The more scripture I read, the less I can be wrong. The more offended you may be, but it's not me, it's the word. And so I'm okay with that. Like, I like to be liked, but the reality is the word, it's inerrant, it's truth. And so when we read it, it should encourage us to be better, not make us, shrink back. Okay? All right. I need a hanky wave for myself. Julie, can you grab me a tissue over there? Man, I'm telling you. Amen to that. Let's go to Romans 7. Let's see this. It says this, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Anybody been there? I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. You ever felt like that? Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Come on, let's keep going. I got more. That wasn't all the scripture I got. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen? And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Pause for a minute. You remember I talked about the Ten Commandments and how God laid out exactly what it looked like to live in righteous living, how it was to live in a holy manner that would please God always, yes? That's what the Old Testament was. What God literally was doing, he knew that we could not live to that standard. That's why he made acceptable sacrifices on the altar. He knew we couldn't do it. So what was he doing? He was setting us up to realize that we can't do it on our own. And when Jesus does show up, we better pay attention. We better accept him because he becomes the one that fulfills the law. All right, let's go back. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do, amen? He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Continuing, he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. See, the only way to get rid of the law, not to totally nullify it, but the only way to appease the law, the only way to see it fulfilled was somebody actually doing it. And that would take a sinless man walking a sinless life and becoming our sacrifice. Jesus, thank you. Those who are dominated, did I start there? Yeah, there it is. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. I'm not finished yet. Let's keep going. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ live in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your bodies will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. And lastly, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. I'm going to say that again. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the Spirit, power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. That's a lot of scripture. But man, Romans, it'll change you. Romans, this I couldn't just choose a few. I had to just go through it, and I cut a whole bunch off. But the reality is this. Look, we need to understand, number one, admit you're at war. Admit you're at war. Look what it says in the beginning in verse 7:23. It says, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Do you understand? Before Christ, BC days, your BC days, right? Before you said yes to Jesus and had him come into your heart and asked him for forgiveness, before that, we were being led totally by what we desired. What we call the sinful nature of the flesh, because we naturally desire things that aren't naturally of God. We have a little bit of the Lucifer syndrome. We want to be our own God. And you see it in society, because if anything offends anybody, then it shouldn't be able to be done. But the reality is truth offends because it's truth. So you can either be offended by truth and not believe truth, or you can decide that where there is truth, there's going to be offense, and just decide to side on the right side of truth. But admit you're at war. We have a spirit. We have the flesh mind, the sinful nature in us that is urging you. Have you ever, you know, desired to do something you knew was wrong? Everyone's got broken halos, so don't lie to me. The reality is this. There are those moments where you're urging to do something that you know is not right. But oftentimes, we see, after we've accepted Jesus into our heart, there's this little nudging. There's this still small voice telling us, don't do it. And we kind of jokingly do the angel on one side and the devil on the other side. But the reality is there is a war going on inside you. And if you admit that there's a war, if you acknowledge that there's a war, then maybe you'll start fighting. Because we live in a generation that says if it feels good, it is good. And that is the devil's number one ploy to pull you from all that God has for you. But you see, it just feels so right. And if it feels so right, how can it be wrong? Sin is pleasurable to fools, the Bible says. It's accessible. It's easy. In this generation, it's easier than any generation, but the reality is it leads to death. The devil doesn't have any new tricks. He just knows the button to push for you because he knows what's tripped you up before. And he continues to push it, and he's going, that was easy, that was easy, that was easy. Admit you're at war. We must fight if we want to continue moving forward, if we want better. Number two, accept you can't win on your own. Too many people, they want to be that rogue agent. You are not 007 in the spiritual realm. Without the Spirit, you don't even have a cue. You don't have anybody. You don't have anything. Jesus is the only way that we can win this battle. And it's always interesting to me because when Jesus comes back, he raises from the dead. He comes back and he's around 500 people at a time, hundreds of people. And no one hallucinated, 500 different people hallucinated at the same time. That didn't happen. This was not Woodstock. Okay? These people, over 500 at a time, saw Jesus in one place. The reality was he came back. And what did he say at the end? He said, it's better that I leave you. I know I went. I know I died. I know I rose from the dead. I know you think that the time is now, but it's actually better that I leave you so that I can send the one that is really going to help you day to day wage this war. That's the Holy Spirit. You have to accept you can't win on your own. Romans 7:24-25 says this. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see, it is how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. We talk oftentimes about how Jesus came to set the captives free, don't we? The reality is we are captive to our sinful nature. We put the handcuffs on ourselves. We bondage ourselves up in sin because it feels good. Every time you do that thing because it feels good, you're just wrapping another chain around you. All you're doing is making it harder to break away from that thing. Every time you do that, one more issue, one more drink, one more shot, one more, whatever it is, you're just wrapping yourself up and throwing away the key. You need Jesus in your life if you want to see any sort of better in this new year. We have this amazing recovery group that's happening here on Thursday nights because how many understand you need help if you're going to change? And we go, oh, yeah, they need help. No. Well, you need help. I need help. No matter what our issue is, we all got our vice. We all have our struggle. Oh, don't act like you don't. I was excited to hear that just a couple weeks ago, our Thursday night group almost doubled in one night. That's exciting. I want this church to be a church for all people. I want an on-ramp from any area of life. I want people to say, man, this is my struggle. And I say, we got something for that. I want someone to say, man, I really want to dig deeper here. We got something for that. Because we can't do it alone, can we? It's important for you to know there isn't another coming to us. There isn't another coming to aid us. When it comes to allies, there's not another. You know, when it comes to war, oftentimes, you win the war based on who your allies are. Isn't that right? Even America couldn't have won World War II if we didn't have the ally forces. The reality is you need aid and you need an ally, but there's no one else coming. The only Calvary that was coming already came and made a stand on the hill of Calvary. Did you hear me? Everyone wants the Calvary to come in and save them, but he already made his stand on the hill of Calvary. That's the only aid you're going to get. I'm preaching better than you're listening. I'm pretty sure about that. Number three, we need to understand the rules of engagement because this does mean war. What are the rules of engagement? So it's kind of simple. This is the number one rule. If you want aid, if you want help, if you understand you can't do it on your own and you want God involved, here's the number one rule of this engagement. In order to engage with God's protection, we cannot just merely believe, we must choose to belong to Christ. If we want his covering and freedom, we must choose to belong, not just believe in Christ. The Bible tells us, even the devil believes in Jesus. That's why he tried to lure him into the desert. That's why he tried to change the outcome, because he understood the potential there. More people, they think that Jesus can't do the things that he says he can do, but the devil knew it. That's why he was trying to trip him up in the beginning. Romans 8, 1 through 2. So now there's no condemnation for those who what? You must belong to Christ. And because you belong to him, the power of life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You must belong. There are a lot of people that they believe in Jesus. They may even come to church. But they haven't had that transforming moment where they said, I'm giving it all to you. I don't even know what that means, but I know I need you. And they choose to go from believing in a higher power to believing in a higher power with a name to belonging in the family of that higher power. The Bible says we're grafted in, we're adopted in, sons and daughters to the family of God. Isn't that amazing? We must belong. Number four, we have to acknowledge the general's new orders. How many understand the idea of dishonorable discharge? Understanding the idea of not obeying the orders, doing something rogue, doing something that's not acceptable and being kicked out and blah, 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 blah. That whole concept. Well, the reality is, with the general orders, that's what's done. If you're going to win, you're going to do it the way the general said. Everyone thinks that, like, Rambo is inevitably what they want to be as a spirit person, but he did some things in a rogue way. You're not Rambo. And it's not Hollywood, it's real life, and eternity's on the line. Acknowledge the general's new orders. Look what it says in Romans 3. Look, jump down here. It says, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son. What did he do? He proclaimed, he declared, he gave new orders. an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. See, God declared it. He sent orders to the front line, a message to those held in captivity, to the prisoners of war. Although we must continue to fight, we do not have to any longer be controlled or held captive by our sinful nature. Anybody hear me? Jesus changed everything. He was the secret weapon the enemy did not expect. You know, in warfare, when you go back and look into history of warfare, I love history in general. I'm a history guy. Yeah, I bring you through Boston. I tell you about things that you're like, you had no clue that there was a molasses flood and killed a bunch of people. You're like, this stuff happened. It was crazy. Seriously, Google it. They say on a warm summer's day, you can still smell the molasses. Anyway, I love history. And how many understand history was changed by battles? You go back and you look, if this battle hadn't gone that way, you know the Anglo-Saxon, the Christian faith wouldn't have made it this way. And you go back and you look at all this stuff, and it's like God orchestrated so many things to happen to make sure he preserved his word. Anybody? But the reality is this. In any war, there was always an upper hand of somebody that had the newest, latest technology. Modern warfare has changed. You know, we're no longer with swords. We're no longer just with rifles. There's weapons of mass destruction that have literally changed everything. There's actually a TV show someone was telling me about on Netflix. I think it's called Man of the Castle. But it's literally a show as what potentially America could look like if we lost World War II. Half was Japan and half of the country was actually Germany. And I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. But the reality is we had a secret weapon, and no one likes mass murder here. Anybody? We can agree? No one likes that. But the reality was it was a secret weapon that allowed the evil to be thwarted. And if you want evil thwarted in your life, you better recognize there's a secret weapon. Jesus, what he brings to the table, what the Holy Spirit active in your world does, the devil does not understand or comprehend, was not expecting it. Bible says that evil and the devil must flee at the name of Jesus. When's the last time you said Jesus in the right context? Next time something goes wrong, use that name in the right way and see what happens. God declared it. See, only God, as the general, had the rank to revoke sin's sentence and align us under the Spirit's leading. And it was only Jesus could be the secret weapon to set into motion our new freedom. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. Only God had the rank to revoke sin's sentence and align us under the Spirit's leading. And it was only Jesus who could be the secret weapon to set into motion our new freedom. So understand, number four, acknowledge the general's new orders. Number five, there has been a change of commands. There's been a change of command. This is interesting. This whole concept, because our commanding officer has changed. We aren't following our commands, our own convictions and our own commands anymore, nor do we have to be led by our own sinful nature any longer. Look what it says in Romans 8:4. It says, for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Who do we follow? So when you have the desires of self, for instant self-gratification, for all of the things that come with that, who are you supposed to be taking orders from? Not your sinful nature, but what's being led by the Spirit. Our commander has changed. It's no longer I, me, myself, I said I twice because you think of it twice. The reality is we need the Holy Spirit leading us. When we've got that moment where we're on the edge and we're about to make a bad decision, look for the still small voice that's telling you otherwise and choose to feed that fire, fuel that thing. Don't just give in. There's been a change of command. Continued victory in this life means we must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit now. I was in contact in my preparations for this message. I contacted some of my military friends. Smart, right? And actually, Chris Eggehorn, who's leading guitar up here, retired 21 years in the Air Force as a lieutenant colonel. Give him a hand. Thank you for your service. And anyone else, I was talking with another guy that I ran into at my daughter's school and just met him, named Brian. Hey, Brian, there he is, rocking a Patriots jersey out there. How weird was that? I saw him in the glass the minute I said it. But the reality is, I appreciate anyone serving this country. But as I was doing research on this message, I said, hey, Chris, what does it look like for the ceremony for change of command? What does that look like? And he explained the whole team comes together to officially recognize who their new leader is. The official change is upon the passing of the colors, or in our minds, the baton, so to speak, to the new rightful leader. And you know what's interesting about this? We are involved in a change of command ceremony every Sunday morning. Because every time we come to this church, God is doing new things in this church, and new people are coming into this church, and they're having this road to Damascus experience where God is touching them, so to speak, and they're making decisions. And what's happening in that decision? At the end of service, we always, in Metro Church, we give people the opportunity to get right with God. It's not the magical words we say, it's the promise God gave. And so what we do is we open the opportunity for someone to say, man, I realize that I've sinned. I'm not perfect, and I need God in my life. And then they say this prayer, and what are they doing? They're literally saying, come into my heart. Lead me. I'm passing on the power. I'm no longer going to dictate to myself what I believe is true. I'm going to allow you to lead me. We have the ability to be part of that change of command ceremony every Sunday. Isn't that exciting? So we've got to understand we have to agree and choose to follow the change of command in our life. A lot of people, their struggle with Christianity isn't that they don't believe the word, it's that they have an authority issue. They read the word, they know it's the word, but then to have to sit under authority, they have an issue with that. That's what started with Lucifer becoming the devil. Don't become the devil. Understand authority is a good thing in your life. And align yourself with the authority that has authority as well. I'm not a pastor to my end. I've got a pastor. We have accountability. We should all in life have accountability, yeah? Okay. Number 6, because I'm running out of time. We must declare war on your sinful nature, on our sinful nature. I don't even know if I gave you the title of this message. It's called This Means War, by the way. Did you even see the title slide? There you go. Thank you, guys. There it is. How do you like that? Okay, there it is. We're going to go back into Scripture. Romans 8. We must declare war on our sinful nature. Look what it says. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. You got to declare war. The reality is, the thing that's in you, have you ever heard this term? I think I told you last week, so you should say yes, unless you weren't here last week. I don't know. But the reality is this. We must die to ourself daily. Wake up and die daily. What does that mean? It means put down the things that you feel. If you did everything you felt, you wouldn't have a job. You probably wouldn't have a wife. You probably wouldn't have, you know, enough money to go do whatever you're doing. We don't do things just because we feel like it. In fact, we have so much responsibility in all these other areas of our life. We feel the freedom to do what we want on the weekends or when God is asking something like, whoa, God, I'm responsible enough to handle the things I need to handle. Back off. Preaching to the choir, I know, but listen, we have got to declare war on our sinful nature. No one can fight that war and be successful other than you. It is up to each of us to admit the struggle is real and declare war. Begin waging war on anything in us that is outside of God, our general, and his will. You hear me? What in me? I love David. As he's writing in Psalms and Proverbs, he says, take inventory, vindicate me, O Lord. Help me see the things in me that are not you. Why is he saying that? Not just so that he could beat himself up and feel bad about the things that are in him that aren't of him, that aren't of God. He's saying, help me see my blind spots so that I can change them to be more like you. And know what God does? He sends a friend that tells you a shortcoming and then you cuss him out. Who do you think you are telling me? And then you start quoting scripture to them that they need to get the splinter out of their own eye before they tell you. All you did was get an answer to your prayer. You're just too childish to see it. I heard long pauses bring people back in if they were offended. No one can fight that war except you, and you can't do it alone. Everyone onto this? I got to keep moving so that you listen. Number 7, remember your rank. This is important. You must remember your rank. Do you know who you're talking to, Private? The reality is this. You're not where you're going to be. You're not the best that you're going to be. There's still more for you. But thank God you're not where you were. So rather than beating yourself up over the fact that you're not where you want to be, also realize that you were just promoted when you accepted Jesus into your hearts. You have been promoted above your sinful nature and have been given a new commanding officer in the Holy Spirit. You have been promoted because of the one who is now in you. Amen? With Jesus in you, sin is now beneath you. And with the Spirit leading you, victory is now possible. Yes? Look what it says in Romans 8, 9, and 11. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. So what? The Spirit of God in you has promoted you above your sinful nature. So even though you feel like I just accepted Jesus yesterday, I don't feel any stronger. The fact is, you are no longer sitting under the foot of sin. You are now putting your foot on sin's throat because the Spirit is in you and you don't have to be controlled by it anymore. I love, anyone ever, you ever go to a, well, if you're New England Patriots fans, you've seen this plenty of times where you're going to a game and you just know it's won. It's sad. I'm not saying that today. Goodness gracious. Listen, but what I'm saying is there's nothing better than going to a fight when you know you're already going to win. There's nothing better going into a challenge when you already know you've got the secret weapon. It doesn't mean you don't have to fight. It just means you've got some more confidence. We rank up with Jesus. So don't fear what you used to fear. Don't shrink back from the fight any longer. Know that victory was assured when the secret weapon of Jesus was acquired. Possessing the Spirit and the power comes by it. Possessing the Spirit and the power that comes by it assures victory, but you still have to fight. And lastly, number 8, as my time is starting to run out, we gotta fight on. Fight on. Romans 8, 12, and 13 says this. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. What is it saying? If you're willing to fight. If you're willing to fight and be led by the Spirit and go into those battles rather than shrinking back from them. If you're willing to fight on, you can live. But you have to fight on. Look, it better will continually stir up undercurrents and other issues. Inevitably, those close to you may not like seeing you advance without them. Anyone ever been there? The crab pot mentality with a bunch of crabs in a pot and one starts to get out and they all grab him and pull him back down because they didn't like the fact that he was going to get out without him? Yeah. Some family, some friends, anybody? Better in your world will also create a reaction from the one who wants to keep you from God's best. The devil has no reason to worry about you until you give him reason to worry. You're like, Chad, you've spoken so much of the devil. I haven't seen him. That's because you're not trying to do better. He shows up when you try and better your life. He shows up when you try and take God's word at his word. He shows up when you try and use the spine and stand for Christ rather than sitting for the political correctness. As the keys come back, I'm going to wrap up with this. Look, it better will require a continual fight. And I pray that you would fight on for the better that awaits you this year. Don't stop fighting. In the wise words of St. John Mayer, it's a joke. He's not a saint. But he has a song called War of My Life. And these are the words. It says, I'm in the war of my life, at the door of my life, out of time and there's nowhere to run. I'm in the war of my life, at the core of my life. I've got no choice but to fight till it's done. So fight on. I won't give in. Fight on. I won't run. Fight on. I've got no choice but to fight till it's done. Fight on. You go, wow, Chad, those are good words, but how's John Mayer spiritual? Do Don't worry about John Mayer. Just focus on the fact that he's telling you to fight. The reality is God's word is telling us to fight.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.